This morning I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, after a few Sundays of focusing in on baptisms, we jump back to Psalm 23 to finish off the last part of this Psalm of David. Psalm 23, as we get ready to turn our attention to God's Word together, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we turn to Your Word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of Your mighty strength, which You exerted in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. A psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Says the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The message of Psalm 23, as we've seen throughout our study of Psalm 23, is the message of the entire Bible. It's the gospel message. That unwavering confidence in the Lord as our shepherd, as my shepherd, that there's nothing else that I need. Him leading, Him guiding, Him restoring, Him providing. It's the story of our own journey, our own walk with the Lord, through the good times, the green pastures, the quiet waters, through the difficult times, the valleys of the shadow of death, the evil, the presence of my enemies. Through the celebrations, You prepare a table before me. You refresh me with oil. My cup overflows. And even in the short time that we've been looking at this psalm, we've lived and experienced what this psalm is talking about. This psalm shed light on our path and the experiences of our life, whether it's the valleys or the green pastures, help us to understand God's word in an even deeper way because of our own life journey. Seeing the Lord leading, guiding, providing. Green pastures, valleys, the Lord's table, the refreshing, the anointing, the forgiving. And just when we thought that we had everything covered, there's still more. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As we've seen, Psalm 23 gives us a picture of life's journey. And in this final verse, in verse 6 here, this psalm comes to its ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of this journey, of this walking with the Lord, is to be in the presence of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're anticipating. And so as this psalm is coming to an end, it's actually more of a beginning. Because of what's still to come. David wraps up this psalm and he's bringing it to a conclusion with yet another promise from God that we hold on to by faith, that David's holding on to by faith. Surely, certainly, no doubt about it, goodness and never-ending faithful covenantal love will pursue me all the days of my life. This final verse puts into words the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ, the assurance of salvation that is ours because our Lord is our shepherd, because His goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life and the life to come. We have confidence, people of God. We have assurance and comfort because the Lord is in control. He is our shepherd, both now. He has been in the past. He's our shepherd now, and He will be our shepherd in the future as well. And that's the assurance and the comfort that we have because of the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, which is ultimately fulfilled and perfectly expressed in Jesus Christ. The goodness and mercy of the Lord our shepherd gives us as sheep confidence and assurance and comfort. And that's what we'll be looking at this morning as we look at, first of all, surely goodness and love, and then secondly, will follow me. And then we'll wrap up with our third point, all the days of my life. And so first, surely goodness and love. Surely is how David starts this verse. David could have simply said that, well, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. But he adds this little word, surely. And that's to emphasize the certainty of this reality. This is really going to happen. This is a for sure thing. This is a certain thing. And it's almost as if David is saying, in light of everything that I have just said in this psalm about the Lord being my shepherd, this is what I know for sure. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Here is a summary statement of all that David has just said. For us to understand what David is saying here as he summarizes this psalm, we need to know what he means by goodness and mercy. What do these two phrases mean? What is David talking about here? Well, goodness. Let's unpack that. Goodness in this psalm, and in general, is a description of who God is. God is good. Which is to say that He's the complete opposite of evil. In Amos 5, verse 14, to seek God is to seek good. Seek good and not evil that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you just as you say He is. God is good. And this is so closely tied together that even in Exodus 33, verse 19, when God reveals Himself to Moses, you know the story, Moses is hiding in the cleft of the rock, God is passing by, and God revealing Himself to Moses is described as God revealing His goodness to Moses. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And so what we see is that goodness encompasses all that God is, all of the other attributes of God, His love, His faithfulness, His care. These are all facets. These are all expressions of His goodness. You can think of light shining and hitting a prism and how it is divided into a rainbow when you see all the different colors that were in that light. Well, in the same way, we have God's goodness, and when it hits this prism, we have all of His different attributes that are all encompassed in the goodness of God. His love, His faithfulness, His care, His providence, His guidance. And it's not simply His goodness, it's also His love, the goodness and mercy, the goodness and love, the goodness and ever. The steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life. These are two things, two attributes of God that are paired together. We saw it in our call to worship. Psalm 100, the Lord is good and His love endures forever. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. Here we have David describing Yahweh as the covenantal God, and the words that he uses to describe God are his goodness and his love forever. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And that brings us to mercy. The Hebrew word there is chesed. It's talking about the steadfast love of God. It's talking about his covenantal faithfulness, a love, a mercy that is never ending, a loyal love, a faithful love, faithfulness and goodness. Here's a steadfast, true love, a never ending faithful love, a never changing love that God has for his people. A love that is part of who he is as a covenantal God, as Yahweh. And so we have this mercy as part of who God is, expressing this steadfast love, expressing this chesed. Who God is, goodness, mercy, is wrapped up in what he does. Goodness, mercy. This isn't just an attitude or an emotion. It's an emotion that leads to action. Because God is good, because God is merciful, he responds to us with that goodness, with that mercy. When you're looking at chesed, or the mercy here as it's translated in verse 6, that steadfast love of God, it's a deep and enduring commitment between us and God as he helps those who are in need. Part of the official definition of chesed is the needy party who is in circumstances is unable to help him or herself. And God in his mercy, God in his chesed, God in his steadfast love, forever faithful love, comes to us, showing us that mercy, showing us that love. And the reality here is that you don't deserve this mercy. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing. That's why it's such a statement of confidence. What do I mean? We don't deserve mercy. We don't earn mercy. Mercy is getting the... not getting what you deserve, right? What you earn, what you deserve, well, that's punishment because of our sin. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, right? Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord, in his mercy, in his covenantal love and faithfulness, has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. That's mercy. We aren't given the punishment that we deserve and that we've earned. We're shown mercy. We're shown love. And then you add to that God's grace, and we're actually given the exact opposite of what we deserve and what we've earned because of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has shown us his mercy. It's his goodness. It's his mercy. When David is talking about this goodness and mercy, he's describing all of the benefits that he receives from the Lord as his shepherd. David here is the one who is being led. He's the one who's being guided. He's the one who's being restored. He's the one who's being refreshed. He's the one who is being cared for. And he is the one who is being followed by the goodness and the mercy of God. And it's God, the Lord Yahweh, who is doing all of this. I was struck again as we were reading this psalm earlier. He makes me glad. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. The emphasis is on all that God is doing for us. So if David is being followed by goodness and mercy, it's the Lord's goodness and mercy that is following him all the days of his life. And it's the foundation of this praise to God for his goodness and mercy, his eternal love. The covenant that he has entered into with us. That self-binding promise to provide such love and grace, not only now, but also in the future as well. Our forgiveness. Our salvation. is because of God's chesed, because of his love. This goodness and mercy is perfectly expressed in Jesus Christ. And David here is making the point that this is following me all the days of my life. When you're talking about God's goodness and mercy, you're talking about God himself. David's basically saying that God is pursuing me, God is pursuing us, all the days of our lives. The mercy of the Lord, the loving kindness, the chesed of the Lord, the God of a covenant, who has in the past expressed his mercy and loving kindness to his people in redemption, in deliverance, is also the God who is expressing his redemption and deliverance, his goodness, his love and kindness to us right now in the present. And like I mentioned, the psalm is pointing us forward to how God will continue to show his loving kindness to his people in the future as well. Surely goodness and mercy, secondly, will follow me. Will follow me. When David says will, here's another statement, or shall. Shall follow me. Shall, will, another statement of confidence. David is saying that this is going to happen. And the reason for his confidence, the reason he can say, goodness and mercy shall follow me, will follow me all the days of my life, and he can have so much confidence in that, is because God's goodness and mercy has already been pursuing him, has already been following him. And that's why this last verse of Psalm 23, as it's coming to an end, is actually a beginning. Because it's looking forward and it's anticipating what's to come. A hopeful anticipation. And the anticipation and the hope is that God is pursuing you, that God is following you all the days of your life, with the ultimate goal of this journey and this pursuit being in the presence of the Lord forever, living in the house of the Lord forever. And the idea is that this is something that is ongoing. It's something that's already happening. It's as if David is saying here that I've already seen this happening already. God's goodness and his love have already been following me. Just like I said in the last verses 1 through 5, just as I've been explaining to you, this is an example of his goodness and mercy pursuing you. There's nothing I need because he leads me and he guides me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid because you are with me. He makes me lie down. He leads. He restores for his name's sake. He prepares. He refreshes. He anoints. My cup overflows. This is all an example of his goodness and mercy, not only now following me, but in the future as well. Because that's who he is as my covenantal God, as my Lord, my Savior, my Shepherd. People of God, we see the ultimate example and expression of God's goodness and mercy following us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Shepherd, following us all the days of our life. Some commentators, when they look at this passage, goodness and mercy shall follow me, they wrongly interpret this to mean that, well, it's some kind of expression of goodness and mercy that kind of follows you as an individual. Almost like wearing cologne or perfume and the smell wafts behind you, or people can tell you're at a campfire because your coat later smells like that smoke. You know, your friends and your family, you're with them, and when you leave, you leave behind the aura of goodness and mercy. That's not what this passage is saying. This is not talking about a smell or an aura of goodness and mercy that wafts behind. Goodness and mercy aren't following behind you as much as they are pursuing you. Imagine being out for a walk or going for a bike ride, and all of a sudden you look back and there's a dog chasing you. And it's not just a small little dog. This is a big Rottweiler, and it's teeth are bared and it's after you. What do you do? Oh, look, a little dog is following. No, you pedal faster, you run faster because you're being chased, because you're being pursued. And when you get home and you're out of breath and your wife asks, what's wrong? You don't just say, well, I was being followed by a dog. No, I was being pursued, chased. A dog was chasing me. And that's the image that David is using here in this psalm when he's talking about God's goodness and love pursuing me, chasing me, following me. It's actually somewhat ironic because this is the only place in the entire Old Testament where goodness and love are described as pursuing. That's an aggressive word. It's used in the context of the enemy or in a military sense of the military pursuing. And you can imagine everything that David's went through. And well, Saul pursued me. My enemy pursued me. They followed me. But here in a beautifully ironic way, David is taking that aggressive pursuit and he's saying it in the same phrase as God's goodness and his mercy as a way to express his ultimate confidence and assurance in the Lord as his shepherd. God's goodness, God's mercy is chasing you down, people of God. Is pursuing you, is coming after you. Coming after the ones whom he loves. Loves with his covenantal, faithful, never-ending love. And that's where our confidence lies. That's where this assurance is of our salvation because of God's goodness and love. It's chasing us. It's not just something that's drifting behind us, but rather it's pursuing us. Now, think about what that means for us personally, for you personally. For those of you who are running from the Lord, you can't outrun this goodness and mercy. For those of you who are experiencing doubt, when the doubt hits, when the questions come, maybe I'm not good enough, maybe I don't believe, who am I kidding, what if people really knew me, maybe I'll just go through the motions, what do I have to lose? If he really knew who I was, and the reality is that your good shepherd does really know who you are. And he does know each and every one of your sins, thought, word, and deed. And the beautiful reality is he's still pursuing you with his goodness and his love. Still chasing you down with his goodness and his mercy. This is good for us as sheep to hear. This is comforting. This is reassuring. It gives us confidence in the salvation that is ours because of Christ, our good shepherd. It's reassuring and comforting. Why? Because it's not up to me. It's not about how firmly my grasp on my shepherd is, but rather how tightly his hand around me is. We all like sheep have gone astray, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And here is the shepherd, the good shepherd. He's leaving the 99 and he's pursuing the one with his goodness, with his mercy, with his love. And like I mentioned, the place where we see the ultimate expression of this pursuit of God's goodness and his mercy is in our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. The one who laid down his life for us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. People of God, God isn't a puppy tagging along, looking, hoping for someone to love him. Here the image that we're given is a God who actively, with precision, is pursuing and going after his lost sheep with his goodness and his love. And God's love for me, God's love for each of you, is not something that we earn. It's not something that he gives us in response to us loving him. He's not waiting for us. He's pursuing us with his goodness and his love. Our Lord and our Shepherd is going after us. And so look at the imagery we now have as we wrap up Psalm 23. You have this journey that we're on. And one, he is the Shepherd who is leading and guiding us out in front. But he's also the one who is following or pursuing us from behind. You are surrounded by God. You're surrounded by your Lord and your Shepherd. You're surrounded by his goodness and his love. It's not just a temporary thing while the offer lasts. How long is this reality true for us? All the days of my life. That's our third and our final point this morning. All the days of my life. For the length of days is another way to translate it. For the rest of the days. In other words, forever. God's covenant with us doesn't leave any room for coming to an end of his commitment. There's no expiration date on this covenant and these promises, or this offer is good until such and such a time. There's no stopping point or ending point to his goodness and love. It doesn't run out. And when you think of God's faithfulness, here we have David reflecting to the past. This is what God has done in the past, and he anticipates God's future faithfulness, which is the source of his confidence and assurance. And when you think about this kind of chesed, this mercy, this covenantal faithfulness, God's never-ending faithfulness, especially in the Old Testament, there was a way that God's people symbolized God's faithfulness for them in the past. Boys and girls, it was called the Ebenezer Stone. I know that sounds kind of like a funny name, Ebenezer Stone. But after a long time of sadness and trouble, because God's people Israel disobeyed, because they were bad, Samuel placed a stone in a place where the restoration began. And Samuel put up that stone, 1 Samuel 7 verse 12, and he named that stone Ebenezer. And the reason for it, he said, thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far the Lord has been faithful. Up to this point, God has been faithful. And it was a rock they could see, a stone that they could see that was a reminder of God's help in the past, God's faithfulness to his people, God's eternal covenant, his goodness and his mercy. And when they saw that stone, they were reminded of God's covenant faithfulness, his goodness and mercy. Well, this morning, people of God, Psalm 23 is your Ebenezer stone. Your reminder of God's covenant faithfulness, his mercy, his goodness. And it's not only looking back at God's faithfulness thus far. It's also a comfort and an assurance as we look forward, knowing that not only has he been our faithful Lord and Shepherd in the past, not only is he currently our faithful Lord and Shepherd right now, but in the future we know that he will continually be our faithful Lord and our Shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is how God has always interacted with his people. This is how he's currently interacting with his people, and this is how he's going to interact with us as his people. Our Shepherd in the past, our Shepherd right now, and our Shepherd in the future as well. For the rest of your days, here on earth, for the rest of time, forever, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And that is the comfort. That is the assurance that is ours in Jesus Christ when he is our Lord and Shepherd. The comfort and the assurance that we have, which is ours in Jesus Christ, God's goodness, his mercy pursuing us, ultimately fulfilled, ultimately expressed in Christ and his expression of faithfulness, love, covenantal love, mercy, faithfulness, goodness. And knowing that that's for us, pursuing us on full display in the salvation that is ours because of our Shepherd. And so we have confidence. We have assurance. We have comfort no matter what lies ahead, because of the goodness and the mercy of our Lord and Shepherd and Savior Jesus Christ. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we thank you for the ultimate expression of that mercy and goodness, which is ours in Jesus Christ, for the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for leaving the 99 and pursuing us when we have wandered, when we have left the flock. We thank you for showing us mercy and love. And we thank you for the salvation that is ours in Christ alone. It's in the name of our Lord and Shepherd Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.